Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to the Extra Hour. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Very good. I just saw a terrified look on your face. Everything good?
Everything's wonderful.
Totally good. Totally wonderful. Also, John Ramos.
Hello.
If you missed it, we just talked about being locked down in the jail. So many people are in jail right this moment, right this very moment. And you can find out more on our previous program, The Jail of Jealousy and the Guards of Envy. Mm. I can't get to you. I can't get past the guards. What are the guards' name? Envy made envy. Mm. I am not envying. I'm just in turmoil right now. I'm in turmoil, and I don't want your position. I hate you. Kind of like maybe, but I am praying for you.
Right.
And I don't mind being an eye. Go ahead and just give me another eye assignment. It's like, I want a hand assignment. You know, I want to sing. It's like, I know for a fact that Pat's not called to sing. I have no doubt whatsoever.
Absolutely not.
Although he tried.
It's excruciating. It's excruciating. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, unless they're cranking up the orchestra really loud, as a matter of fact, I don't even know if, does anything ever come out when you're It's like a silent worship. I'm trying to get right.
Does the mouth move?
Where does peanut gallery come from?
Peanut
Say
gallery.
That again.
All right. It's like, you know, praise God from whom all blessings come. It's like this.
Lip singing?
I don't know. Hey, we need to. He has a whole audience now looking over here. That was funny. But you never, sometimes you have to be careful if you love your brother enough. Sometimes you don't need to sing in his ear, right?
Oh. Even the proverb says if you bless someone early in the morning, they may not like it. So hey.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, that you make a joyful noise before the Lord is also important as well. But, yeah, we're talking about the jail of jealousy. Believe it or not, it could boil down to one simple thing, how we could fix the confinement issue in America. We can fix the confinement issue in America, in the church and the physical confinement. Mm. That 90% of the youth sitting in prison today, 90% of the youth sitting in prison come from fatherless homes.
That's right.
If you talk to that kid, talk to him or her, and we've talked to a lot of them, mm-hmm. and it's not in every case, but 90%, they would say, if they understood, they could see spiritually what's going on, and they could see that what the jails were jealousy, and that they could see the guards were envy, they would say, you know what? I would burn in my heart every night with envy that I wish I had a father like, and they would, you know, I wish, I was so jealous of that family because they had a mother and a father and, you know, the whatever thing, and all the devil just played that up. Mm-hmm. And so in that comes what? Hate and murder and crime. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and so you get onto me for the fruit that actually came from, you never helped me or my father be a father. You never helped my parents be parents. You never, you know what I mean? Because a lot to that. And so if 90% and 70, is it 75% of all prisoners? At least 75% of all prisoners right around that area come from fatherless homes. First of all, I just want to say it's amazing how green brown grass looks from a distance. Mm. Just having the male species inside your house does not mean things are going to be all well.
Mm. You know? Don't get it twisted.
But if you're listening to the adversary, you know, about jealousy, then he's going to get you start comparing. And it's amazing how perfect a father is to you at a distance. And the thing about it, if he got close enough to you, he'd probably tell you to shut up, get a job, turn the lights off, and don't treat your mama like that.
That's right.
And so it's just fantasy. It's fantasy. The reality is you're going to answer alone before God, all by yourself. And he's a father to the fatherless. We can't say, well, this is the reason why I committed this crime. But understand this too. How is the world going to get free from jealousy when the church is held captive by the very same demon? Mm-hmm. You have pastors who are looking at the pastor up the street. And because he's got a different texture on the outside of his building. Mm. Because he has different color carpet.
Got a new sign.
Got a new sign. Got a brand new sign.
A new podium.
A new podium. Mm. And he's jealous of that. Or she's jealous of that. And envious of that. And all of a sudden, then he or she begins to preach against that. And then all of a sudden, it's like, you just got taken down.
Yeah.
But then again, also, then you have someone who was in that same jealousy, and then they get the stuff. They get what they were jealous of, what they wanted. They did everything they can to get it. Power. Mm. Stucco. I don't know. Whatever it is. You know, in a theater near you. And now, you know, that's not a church. That's a graven image. That's an idol to you. Mm. You know, and you take pride now in what you were jealous of and what you thought was rightfully yours. Mm. And it's like, it's the gel of jealousy guarded by the guards of envy. Mm-hmm. Those are not ushers. Those are guards. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. I'm just talking to you now. I'm just saying, listen, we should not be in how many people sit and watch these live programs today where people go with their singing gifts and different talents. And you can watch them and they look on the stage as people get applauded for their gift, and thousands upon thousands look with jealous envy, wanting that. And you have people marketing that, hoping that people will want it so bad that they'll lay down money for it. Right?
Every day.
And it's like, this is not who we're supposed to be. This is not who we're supposed to be. And so if you're ready to be set free, if you're ready to be set free from the gel of jealousy, and break loose away from the guards of envy, you first got to say that you are. You got to say that I've been jealous. I've been wanting what he's got. I've been wanting what she's got. You know, I wanted their stuff. I wanted their life. I wanted a father like that. I wanted a wife like that. I wanted children like that. I wanted a car like that, a house like that, country like that, money like that, whatever. That was me. That's how evil it is, God. That's what I wanted. And then you say, God, I'm sorry. It's sin. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's wrong. God, forgive me for that. Forgive me for envying and being jealous of someone else's success or what I perceived was. And forgive me for that. Lord, forgive me for the envy in my life. And then you say, because God's forgiven you once you asked him, now it's time for you to break that stronghold over your life. Because you gave the devil authority, legal right to torment you now. With envy and jealousy, even though you're forgiven, you're still tormented by it.
Yeah,
he's forgiven you, but now you just can't stop being bumping against you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like a wave just keeps hitting you. Where is this coming from? It's because you gave Satan legal right. Once you sin like that, you give him legal right. He has legal right to stand before God and show a contract that you signed with your own permission. You gave him authority to torment you like that. And he can go say, right here, see, they said it right here. God, you said if they actually do this, they become my slave. Whoever you obey is who you become a slave to. And so then you can say, now that you're forgiven because of Jesus, then you can say, I renounce all authority that I've given Lucifer. I renounce all authority that I gave Satan to be able to use this in my life. I bind the spirit of jealousy and envy, and I command you to go in Jesus' name, and I renounce all control and authority that you had over my life, and I break that legal right that I gave you, and I take it back in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He has no more legal right.
That's right.
And then break every soul tie, every curse, everything that's connected to that, and then walk free of it and realize that you don't want to do it again. And begin to bless those and be grateful for the blessings in people's lives. And understand, ever how you are, God's positioned you. Whether slave or free, Greek or Jew, I mean, understand we're just one body, we're one people. And imagine the prison would just pour empty out. Mm-hmm. But what guy who doesn't know God is going to say, this big, burly, 300-pound, roided man who's been trying to become something he's not, why is he going to say, man, I envied you all my life. I wanted to be you. when you've been seeing the opposite thing. You've been mm-hmm. seeing, like, you've been hating on me. Mm-hmm. You've been talking bad about me. You've been trying to take me down. You know, and he knows all that stuff was going on from his behavior. It's going to be real tough for him to humble himself outside of God and say, really, I was just jealous of you. And this is the difficult thing that for us to really get, that people can be taken down and they can be jealous of you whether you know it or not. So you don't just assume nobody, that there's nothing that God has given you that people don't want. I mean, you can be naive and you can be, you know, feeding into this frenzy by just ignoring the fact that you're waving this gift around, thinking like it's no big deal, or this whatever around, money or finance or mm-hmm. whatever, and you're stirring up carnal desires in people's hearts. You know, it's like, I don't know, you're singing, where you're going, you're like singing, and you know that person struggles and they want that kind of mm-hmm. place or whatever, and you, every time that you're just stirring it up, mm-hmm. you know? Or you walk around looking like, you know,
Adonis, you know, and
oh, wow.
flexing and
Adonis.
You know, Jiminy.
World Atlas.
People get the envious, you know. They say, wow, Pat, how do you do that? In fact, let me just confirm.
Wasn't that Hagar? You're quiet now. Anyway, so, you know we're joking. Everybody can see your television.
This is obviously joking.
We're just joking.
Mm. Come on.
I guess we're envious. Lord, forgive us. No. Oh, look at that. Oh, no.
Okay, pride.
No. I'm not. I'm fine. The, understand, though, he's not going to do that outside of, that's why you got to preach the gospel to him. And by the way, you need to live the gospel before him and understand that if people struggle with envy and jealousy and that type of thing, titles don't mean squat.
Please.
It is so crazy. Titles, passing out titles to people who struggle with envy and jealousy is like passing out crack at a crack house.
For real.
It's just like, I got to do this very carefully. These guys are addicted to titles, and it means so much more to somebody who struggles with jealousy and envy than it actually does to somebody that understands that leadership is a position to be, is a burden to bear.
That's a responsibility.
Yeah,
It
comes with expectations and the fear of God. If it's in the church, to understand that God's going to hold you accountable for that.
No doubt.
And so this is a serious thing right now, because what you have is you have a Alinsky's children stirring, Lucifer stirring up jealousy, envy, strife. Saying, you know, you deserve what they have. Mm. You know, that's your house. That's your car. That's your money. That's your, you know, and stirring this whole thing up. And it's stirring up that envy and the jealousy and the strife. And let me tell you something, church. Maybe it's happening that way in America because it was in the church before we even out into the streets. You know what I'm saying?
That's my car you're driving.
Yeah, they actually did. They had people, they were telling people, you know, to stand on the street and yell out, the car's passing by.
Oh, my goodness.
That's, you're in my car, get out of my car or something,
crazy.
Give it back or something. And it's like that, fueling that that jealousy aspect of it. And you're fueling hate.
Yeah.
Because it's the gel of jealousy. So they'll spend their life in confinement. And most of this is what really happens with the gel of jealousy. It's secret confinement. It's secret confinement that takes you out like the man who wanted what I was given and didn't even ask for until he gets snuffed out. And the only person that really knows what happened there is God. He knows that person burned with envy and jealousy because they wanted something that you had and you didn't even know it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You have to put your money where your priority is.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller, and that's marriage expert Dr. Gary Chapman, who says that as a couple, if you truly value your relationship, you'll invest the time and money needed to protect and nurture it.
You see, I find couples that are saving their money to build a house or buy a new car or whatever, and by the time they get around to the house or the car, they've lost the marriage. And a house is meaningless without a marriage. So, you make marriage your priority, and then you put your money where your priority is. And you organize your life around that. That means you may sacrifice in some other areas, but we're going to make time for each other.
An important reminder there to talk about and set priorities and invest in the thing that really matters and will last your lifetime, your marriage relationship. Now, for specific ways to have some great date nights and to hear more from Dr. Chapman, stop by FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
You know, Greg, you ever had a conversation with a believer and you ask them, you know, hey, what is God saying today? What's the Lord saying to you today? And oftentimes sometimes hear back, well, you know, my pastor preached last Sunday on XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, I appreciate that. That's awesome. But what did God say to you today?
Right.
And you get this puzzled look back.
It can be really frustrating as a minister, can't it?
Have
you ever heard this Jesus you profess? You know.
Well, let me tell you, abiding is about what God is saying to you individually. Yeah. That God desires to speak to you, and He's going to speak to you through His Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love John 10. It says, "My sheep know My voice."
Yes.
And I remember when I began to start to abide, mm-hmm. and it was just the most beautiful thing to hear that God wanted to speak to me through His Word. You know, if you're out there and you want to hear God's voice and you want to know God in an intimate way and hear what He's saying to you specifically about your situation, because God cares about you.
Yes, he cares
about everything that's happening in your life, what you're going through. And the Bible is not a history book, but it's a living book because it comes from the author. And God wants to speak to you directly about your situation and your life and how much He loves you. You know, if you go to iabide.org, you can request a simple plan just to learn how to abide, how to spend time with Him and hear His voice. I encourage you to do that. iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to Now.
And and there it was.
And so we have the new ACTKUP. It was once called Obamacare. Now it's called the
something.
The whatever. It's they're using initials now. The ACA. The ACA. It's the Affordable Health Care Act. What it was originally called. Acronym searching. But I got some paperwork right here, and this is what they say. This is understand this. That it's never what it seems.
Mm-mm.
And the difficulty I have in talking about healthcare is that as Christians, we should be totally 100% not into making sure people get it, but actually providing it.
Yeah.
When you think about the Methodists and the Catholics and Presbyterian,
a lot of them,
a lot of churches. They've established hospitals, and to take care of the needy, and you know, Mother Teresa and in India and all, and so when we see Christians standing up and just blatantly, without explanation, without any complex conversation, saying this is wrong, then that's just a money conversation. That has nothing to do with compassion or being a good Samaritan, because if it takes all the money we have to help this particular lady who's hurting, God's okay with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's okay with that. And so that's a wrong argument. So, but doing things the wrong way, if somebody's using the compassion of folks to be able to do something different, I don't know, begin to take control of a third of the economy and begin to turn us into more of a socialistic type government versus a free nation where the government determines what happens, then that's when men have a tendency, always, ever, forever in history, is we have a tendency then to turn away from God and turn to government.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but what God has shown me, very specifically, that data is being gathered on the world as part of the end time economy. And it's going to be controlled through, you can't buy it or sell, right? Which is Revelation chapter 13.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. without this economic mark mm-hmm. in the context of that. But he also showed me where, you know, this night vision where I'm actually in this place where this big, huge data gathering center. I kind of didn't know what it was at first, but they're taking all this data, and we're like in these pods, office-type pods. And everybody, people are calling in from around the country, and they're just like, here's my everything, you know, here's my DNA number, here's my social security number, here's my, I mean, just everything. Mm. And they're just like compiling it. And if you missed the heavenly host, there's more on your side than theirs. You need to hear it, because understand God already has the data, but those that follow darkness have to physically, tangibly gather it because they don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
But God knew that. It confounded that king. You can figure out how does Elisha know what's going on? Because mm-hmm. God's already got the data. But man has to actually gather it to control it. And so all of a sudden there was this break. We're like almost like captive in these pods. And if anybody's ever worked in a city in the pods, you know, it's like you feel like you're captive anyway, mm-hmm. chained to your little pod. I'll see you when the shift is done. And all of a sudden there was a break, and everybody had their own little little bulletin board, and I got up in this vision, and I started writing on this board, communicating with everybody, because you couldn't say nothing out loud, and I wrote, and the number of his name is 666, you know, and to communicate, this is what's going on, this mm-hmm. is the beast economy, and then the Lord began to show me that that the way that the beast economy is going to take place, I mean, it's just prophecy. It's what's going to happen. If you're a Christian, what do you know, this is the only thing you should be concerned about. What are you doing for him? Mm. What are you doing for the Lord? I mean, if all you're doing is hunkering down and stacking beans, you totally missed everything, what this is all right. about. And so when you start talking about turning healthcare over to the government, an IRS to be the collection agency for it, to collect your premiums. And there is, to me, I haven't heard any, it's all out front. You know, this is what we want to do. We want single payer plan. You're not gonna let us do that. So we're going to make it just miserable to you till you finally scream single payer plan, which is government. You pay your money to government. They determine where it gets spent. And that ends up with normally hundreds of thousands of people being killed and babies not living and, mm-hmm. older folks not getting older. Mm. So here we are right now. Here it is. It's right in front of me right now with the government healthcare system. They are saying about what they got 5 pages of what they're going to do with your information.
Wow.
They're just letting you know up front. And they're pretty much letting you know up front. Hey, this is what we're going to do. We're not going to waste a crisis. Don't let it go to waste. And so your privacy and the restrictions, they're saying basically we're going to let everybody know about your treatments, your payments, your healthcare operations, your eligibility, any abuse reports, health, safety, disease, judiciary, law enforcement, healthcare mm. oversight, anything they may deem necessary, you know, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And it's like, it'd been easier just to put down on one piece of paper what you're not going to tell people.
Yeah.
And so they're gathering all this data, and it's going to be used. I mean, it's going to be used for good intended purposes,
right?
You know, for an economy. This is the economy. One, I think the statistics are, and it's reported that it's 1/3 of our economy, 1/3 of our economy. So when you take care of the healthcare, we take over the healthcare. You're taking over 1/3 of the economy, which means, remember, he says in Revelation chapter 13 that he's gonna have the economy, mm-hmm. and you're not gonna be able to move in the economy without buying or selling. So you're not gonna prevent the fulfillment of prophecy. You don't know when and where, but God does have Josiah gaps. He does have times when people just cry out to God and he moves. But if a law enforcement agency decides, you know, they want your stuff, they're gonna give you all their stuff, the criminal stuff. If they feel like that, a correction facility, workman's comp. Listen to this. National security matters. This is what it says. We may use or disclose your healthcare information without your authorization. This is every one of them says without your authorization, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We may use or disclose your healthcare information without your authorization to authorize federal officials for the matter of conducting national security, NSA, national mm-hmm. security intelligence activities. These activities may include protective services for the president and others. So in other words, NSA's got your data. And it's just like pages. It's like 7 pages of we're going to use now that if you move into this healthcare system, this is what they're going to tell you. Okay, now that you're in, this is what we're going to do without your permission. And think about it. Now that you're in, you're buying and selling in our economy. I mean, think about it.
You think about what you're saying. There's how many people are still blinded and are walking off of this cliff. I mean, look, this to me, it just seems like, I'm interested to see what you have to say, but it's like judgment. It's like,
yeah,
they're walking off of this cliff knowing that we're losing all of these rights and they're just so blinded they can't even make the decision to say, oh my goodness, this is horrible. This is bad.
Yeah, you know, and Lucifer controls you by what he gives you.
Exactly.
Just give it to me. You know, and so you're looking, you got to be willing to do without to not be controlled. I mean, you have to be willing to, I mean, look at Hebrews chapter 11. These are folks who did without, who the world's not even worthy to be in their presence, he says, because they were people who walked by faith and understanding that. And so I want to encourage you that, you know, if we get rid of the spirit of jealousy, we won't be like Israel going, hey, we want a king like everyone else. We're going to say, you know what? We want to stay one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
My goodness. Listen, visit our sponsors. They make it all possible. Go to VFNTV.com. You have contact information, web addresses, and phone numbers. If you're in Pensacola, visit Cordova Lanes. Wonderful activities. Sign up everyone in the family for bowling leagues. Youth, bring them all Saturday morning and let Steve sign them up. Also, if you're in Pensacola, you're looking for a vehicle, a new purchase of a car or used car, go to Alan Turner Hyundai and visit Glenn Parker. He'll walk you through the process smooth and easy. Glenn Parker is your guy. Also in Pensacola, the Coffee House, Navy Boulevard, fresh coffee, nice sandwiches, and a warm, awesome environment. Go see Rayona and get something today. You want to become a sponsor? Go to VFNTV.com. Check them out today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
We have to understand this is serious times.
Yeah.
And we're seeing now the weakening of a nation. And this is how it works. I mean, the big question, this is today's special offer. It's available to you right today, this week. You need to get it. All you do is just make an offer of any, just whatever, any low offering, any gift. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the special offer. You have to ask this question, is America under God's judgment? It's a two-part series. It's yours for any offering whatsoever. We want you to get it. Immediately, you'll be sent a link to be able to download it, to be able to begin to listen to it. Why not take long enough to just ask yourself the question and begin to hear the biblical explanation? Look at the law. Look at the evidence. Look at the Word of God. Look at the evidence. And each phase of judgment, you can find out if this is true, because God will turn over a nation.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to the VFN Radio program at VFNTV.com. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
And Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Man, talk to us. You know, Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes.
One of the leaders at the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry with Brother John Kilpatrick, as they trained up a lot of folks.
Sure did.
At the Orange.
BRSM.
At BRSM, Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Well, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has put this article out there in Charisma Magazine. And it's the anointing. It transferred. Okay,
I know. Isn't I can't amazing? Help it. I it never happened it. Until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that contribution to the program.
Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share.
We're just
with
blowing your mind. Can we? Can, it's like
Till.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student. Yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar. No, didn't she come from the anyway?
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So back to all time favorite quotes. I can't even say them.
Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not Mr. say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes. Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
Quotes.
You know, okay. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
Okay, we're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just
it's
the croaks?
Just So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Serious quote. Very
Let's
serious,
get in serious mode.
Yeah, I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, okay.
So, this is one of them. For the sake of dying, suffering world, count the cost, pay the price, and set the captives free. John G. Lake said that. I'm going to read that again. For the sake of a dying, suffering world, count the cost, pay the price, and set the captives free. When you think about some of these quotes that, you know, awesome men of God, men and women have shared. It comes from a life of ministry, a life of serving God, a life of laying it all down. You think about John G. Lake's life in ministry. He counted the cost. And many people don't know that John G. Lake was a very, very successful and very wealthy insurance executive.
No, and, I didn't know that. Yeah, I knew he was a businessman. But
yeah, as insurance executive, and he just left it all to go to Africa. And, you know, go into ministry and do what God's called them to do. And they try to do everything in the world to keep him on board. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah. He said, no, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
And wound up shaking Africa and the world. And we're still talking about his ministry today.
Over 5,000 churches, healing houses all over the world.
Yeah. Amazing. So he counted the cost in view of that. Another quote is, how shall I feel at the judgment if multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride?
It just sounds so different when Dr. Brown says it.
I know I know
Get into the Dr. Brown mode. Say it again.
I'll repeat it again.
You're sitting there.
I don't know if I can get into
the
mode.
You're in a plaid pair of pants.
But
you're sitting in the orange.
But I will repeat that again.
He's leaning forward. You know, he leaned over. He says, I got the announcements. They're going to be the next 15 hours.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't? Oh, man. You're being very careful. Okay, go ahead.
Number two. How shall I feel at the judgment if the multitudes of missed opportunities pass before me in full review and all my excuses prove to be disguises of my cowardice and pride? That's huge. Mm. W.E. Sangster said that. And I think it was quoted in Dr. Minister Leonard Ravenhill, I can't even say his name, his book, Why Revival Tarries. And Leonard Ravenhill has a bunch of these, you know, amazing.
So the concept of that then is saying you're standing before the throne of God, you're seeing multitudes go into darkness,
right,
to hell,
right,
and the reason why they're going is because you were too afraid, you were a coward,
or pride,
wow. Self-aware,
yeah, self-awareness, not thinking about the things of God, but thinking about
yourself,
and he's saying, now how could you handle that? Which helps us adjust our life, that kind of reality.
I'd rather hear it now than on the other side.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, how many people? And it says that you know, cowards don't get in. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I mean, it's what you know.
Hey.
What the revelation of Christ said,
it's
right?
What he says. It's what the Word of God says.
Don't be those who shrink back and who are destroyed.
Yeah, regret's such a horrible thing. So it's better to get it right on this side than on that side. And there's going to be a lot of things
you can
you
eliminate
can't
tomorrow's regrets today by doing what's right today.
That's right.
That's good. You can fix it now.
Third one is the man whose little sermon. I love these quotes. The man whose little sermon is repent sets himself against his age and will for the time being be battered merciless by the age whose moral tone he challenges. I'm going to read that again.
That's too deep for Pat and me. You got to break it down a little bit. I'm going to share it. In the next 30 minutes, start with the nouns and work your way to the...
The man whose little sermon...
Okay, because the man has a little sermon.
...is repent.
Oh, this is a repent. That's his sermon.
That's his sermon.
His sermon's repent. Okay, got it.
Sets himself against his age.
Okay, sets himself. What's that mean? Sets himself against his age.
Sets himself. You know what I'm saying? He's facing his age. This is his message. He sets himself against the age in which he's in.
I thought how old he was.
No, the age that he's in.
Okay, it's the season of his life.
The season of his life.
Culture and everything's going on. Okay.
And will, for the time being, for during that time period that he's preaching this message, repent, he's going to be battered, merciless, by the age, the season, the time, the people he's sharing it to, whose moral tone he challenges.
Okay, that totally makes sense now. So basically it's like, I'm going to get on God's side. That means the world's not going to be on my side.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell, the message is going to be, get on God's side.
Get on God's side.
So I'll spend the rest of my life, the people who don't want to get on God's side are going to be on my back.
That's right.
I'm going to set myself against, just by, and you're not really doing that, but the very fact that you've done it, you've polarized yourself from the people who, you're a child of the day.
Mm. People that want to stay in darkness are not going to want to hear you.
The verdict's in, right?
Yeah.
That's
shed
good.
The light.
Yeah. See, you've explained it to Pat and I. It makes a little bit more sense. Yeah. That's powerful.
Thank you.
You may have to go back and explain that, the other one.
May have to. Here's another one. Satan is so much more in earnest than we are. He buys up the opportunity while we're wondering how much it will cost. And that was Amy...
Now, Ernest is that puppet that was on Sesame Street?
No.
That was Ernie? It was Ernie?
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
I don't
more
get it.
Ernest, I guess what he's trying to say is that Satan is more serious. He's seizing the opportunity. More earnest. He's going to jump on this opportunity, and he buys up the opportunity while we're wondering how much it'll cost. He's so basically on his evil game.
It's like playing Monopoly, and somebody, the first time they're playing it, they don't realize if you had the money to buy a park
you
place,
you better go buy it right now.
You should have bought it. And so Satan knows, get a Monopoly as quick as you can.
That's right.
He'll buy up everything he can because he knows you're going to have to pass by there, versus we would say, well, how much is that going to cost? The railroad's going to cost
It's going to cost me. How much is that going to cost
it's
me?
How much
is going to
cost me? And how much rent would I get? And does that balance out with my 501c2 and all that?
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Very good. Very good. Here's a few more. Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried. Christianity has not
been... Have mercy on us. We're listening. You're going to read it again. It might not help me if you explain it to us in my own.
Maybe...
So no, Christianity has went to trial.
Right.
Like a court.
Right.
And it's been lacking. It's been found lacking, they're saying.
Right. But
the truth is,
right.
That's what they're saying, but the truth is what?
That it's difficult, but they haven't even tried it. They haven't even engaged it itself.
They judged it before they even entered in.
Exactly.
Right. And left them at the judgment seat of Christ.
Right.
Well, that's wow. That's powerful, isn't it?
That is good now.
We got to give people the chance and tell them, this is good stuff, man.
Very good.
We're with you now.
Now that I understand.
We understand it. We understand we're from second and third
Street. I didn't write the Ben on Mike Woods, but, you know. These are powerful.
These definitely are Dr. Brown quotes.
Yeah, no doubt.
Dr. Brown.
Deep.
Brown.
Dr.
Brown. Go ahead.
Flashback. If God were not my friend, Satan would not be so much my enemy.
Ooh, now I understand that.
That's plain. I like that one.
What you doing hanging around me?
Exactly.
So if God were not my friend, Satan wouldn't be my enemy.
That's right. Because, you know, Satan's not going to fight anything that's already on his side.
Yeah,
but because God is on your side and you're on his side, rather. You're on God's side. Enemies stirred up.
And Jesus says, be careful when all people talk well of you, because that's how they treated the false prophets, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Powerful. Here's the last one. William Booth, leader of the Salvation Army, which is General Booth. Love that guy. The greatness of a man's power.
I had coffee last night at Starbucks with him. I'm going to say.
The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. So it's not about, you know, how much he can do in his own his self meekness. And his own, you know, money or whatever form of power people think they have.
Right.
It's what he's willing to give up that shows his strength. Because when you're giving things up, really, you're not resting on what you can do and your own natural resources, but you're totally surrendering to the will and to the all-sufficiency power that's within Christ, and God's going to take care of it all.
It makes me think about a meek horse where you have one horse that runs through the field, and they go, look at that beauty. But then you look at a 2,500-pound horse that actually is up under its rider, and it's running barrels. It's stopping as they're roping calves. They're doing these jumps, and it's like more people are more impressed with that strength under control versus the one who just kind of, what do? They just kind of run through the pasture with their mane kind of flapping through the wind. But you're just like, it's like meekness under control, right? That's what's impressive. Strength under control. That's powerful, man. Wow. No wonder. That's good stuff.
Hey, I thought it was very good.
Yeah,
very
we just need a few pitchers to help us out, you know?
Hey.
Yeah. Get my crayon going here.
No doubt.
Very good.
There's more, isn't there?
That's it.
That was 10?
That was 10.
Yeah, it was 10. We gave them to you pretty quickly.
1, 2, 4. That was 4.
It's 10. Wow. Can't come over.
Okay.
That was quick.
That was very quick. Well, here we are at the end of 10. I was getting
allegedly.
What are you getting in this? Well, allegedly. Right. We are verifying that now. Price Waterhouse, could you please come out and pull out the thing? We would like to present. That was 4. It was 4 of those puppies. It could have been. Could have blended them together and all that.
Yeah. And there was some other stuff involved in the mixing of them. Then we mixed them.
Right.
Maybe if we were more serious.
We can't count either.
I understand.
They were very, very serious. Speaking of serious, you know, getting back, we're having fun. But to understand that after we get back from this break, we're going to talk about what's taking place in Iran right now with the nuclear weapons they have going on and how they're saying the sanctions are working. But the truth is, you cannot negotiate, light cannot negotiate with darkness. It just never happens. It's not going to work out well. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are, yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And like slap your mama hot sauce? Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually,
what?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. It was, yeah. So where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah,
sure did.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, well, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
slap your mama. We'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. I mean, if something good happens, you slapped your mother?
Well, no, food. Something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a southern way of doing things.
That's a southern saying. That's what
saying. Shoo. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah. My mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, and I said it to Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Chris's ribs,
actually.
He's
from Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. And apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste
like? It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Oh, wasabi.
Oh.
Wasabi.
Whoa. I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom he seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The oh.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah, I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well,
it's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, slap your mama. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's a very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster.
What? Joining me is Pat and John.
Hello.
It's like the monitor. The Israel, at this one moment, Israel... Pray for Israel. Pray for the protection of Israel. Pray for America to wake up and understand that we stand with Israel. That's why we have our sponsors and underwriters, and we're all together going, listen, we stand for God and country in that order, and Israel. These are very important three pillars, understanding. If we don't do that, there's no need for America. And here we are right now, Iran, whose existence, their whole apocalyptic government, as was said recently by a newscaster reportedly on VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, is like this, their whole existence, they have a ministry of stirring up radical Islam, you know, to be able to export it, a ministry of it.
All right.
And we're negotiating with them, and they're wanting to have nuclear power and... nuclear weapons. And this is serious stuff. I mean, it's not like everybody's packed in together there. It's not like they have a lot of mileage to get to the next particular place. You're looking at 60, 70 miles wide for Israel. And when somebody hates you, you don't want to give them a big cannon to be able to shoot your way. And but listen what CBN News is reporting right now, and we got to continue to pray for the Middle East, pray for revival, the revival to break out in the Middle East, and Israel to be protected, because these are serious, serious times. Listen up.
World powers, including the United States, appear to be making progress in easing a standoff over... But as Lori Johnson tells us in our top story tonight, a deal is still a long way off.
Iran's nuclear program is the subject of a two-day meeting in Geneva, Switzerland. Sanctions against Iran are apparently working. Iran offered to cap some of its atomic activities in exchange for relief from sanctions. Iran's foreign minister said his country is committed to a new approach to international issues.
Well, I believe we have a new world. We need a different approach, all of us, to global affairs, and Iran is certainly ready to play that new role in our different international environment.
The talks between Iran, the United States, Britain, France, Germany, Russia, and China are far from conclusive. Although Iran conceded to limiting its nuclear capability, they have yet to discuss specific steps they're willing to take. Michael Mann, spokesman for the European Union, says the ball is definitely in Iran's court.
We still have to get down to really the nitty-gritty and talk about the substance of the issues. And we're hopeful that they will be prepared to engage. I mean, I don't think that anyone's expecting, you know, instant results. This is a negotiation process. But certainly we are hopeful that we can make considerable progress this week.
Iranian hardliners want major sanctions reductions in exchange for merely scaling back their nuclear program, while some U.S. lawmakers say the sanctions should be lifted if Iran stops their enrichment altogether. At this point, neither side is willing to compromise. Lori Johnson, CBN News.
Israeli leaders say they strongly oppose a plan for a partial halt of Iran's nuclear program. They are calling it a bad deal. It calls for Tehran to stop uranium enrichment at 20% and slow work on its water reactor in exchange for sanctions relief. Israel says the current sanctions are hurting Iran, putting world powers in a very strong position to negotiate. For more on this, we're joined now by our senior international correspondent, George Thomas, who has been to Iran. George, Israel keeps warning against cutting back sanctions on Iran. Explain their concern.
Yeah, Benjamin Netanyahu said that this potential deal with Iran, he said, quote, would be a mistake of historic proportions. Look, here's the problem. What we're in essence calling the Iranians to do is to take a nuclear timeout. And the Israelis are concerned that in essence, this only freezes portion of Iran's program. It does nothing to dismantle or to roll back the Iranian program. And most experts today are talking about Iran being weeks away from, they say in their estimation, Iran has already crossed the point of no return and needs just a few weeks, in essence, to go nuclear if they choose to do so. Clearly, this is why Israel is very concerned.
How effective are sanctions?
Hey, look, I mean, they've been biting. There's no doubt about it. I mean, when I was in Iran back then, the sanctions were tough, but nothing like they are today. They are totally crippling the nation. I mean, from the oil industry, from the import-export business, the banking business, the Iranians are feeling the squeeze. And clearly, the fact that the sanctions have been so effective, that's why they've come to the table. But they're looking, all of this is about buying time. How many, we're talking about weeks here, potentially months, and this is what they're looking for.
Well, a newfound optimism over Iran's nuclear program surfaced when Hassan Rouhani was elected. Talk a little bit about him and his so-called modernism.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been reporting here. We've been effective at telling folks since Rouhani came to power that Rouhani is cut of the same cloth. He may not look, sound, and dress like Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the man who ran Iran for 8 years, who was belligerent, talked about wiping Israel off the map, saying that the Holocaust was a myth. Rouhani comes, he's dressed different, he speaks good English, and he knows how to, you know, play the media and the mainstream media, and he did so effectively when he came to the United States a few months ago. But let's be clear, this man was in essence handpicked by the top religious cleric in Iran. Just imagine being in the United States and somebody saying, candidate A, B, C, and D are the only folks you can choose from. Imagine, this is what happened in Iran. In essence, Rouhani was selected by the highest leader Islamic cleric in the country, and he won. So to think that this man is not cut of the same cloth, you're crazy.
And quickly, do you think Iran and other world powers are going to reach a deal on the nuclear program?
I think, unfortunately, yes. There's a senator from Tennessee, Bob Corker, who is trying to bring legislation that would limit or perhaps even curtail any potential deals that we make in terms of lifting of sanctions. But clearly, I think the atmosphere shows and is showing that the Iranians will get some reprieve.
You're looking at right now. They're actually considering, finally something is working, and our leadership, who didn't jump in there to help and support the Green Party, who stirred everything up, whose advisor comes from Iran, is wanting to lift successful sanctions in regard, it's working. If you don't have no money, you don't have an economy, they can't build nuclear weapons. And it's like, what else are we going to do? We need to pray for the Middle East. We need to pray for the protection of Israel. Listen, not only is it with Israel, but it's also America, too. There will be an arms race in the Middle East if this goes down. If they do, they said in a few weeks, confirm that. You're going to see Israel respond soon if we keep doing what we're doing over there.
Don't forget to visit our sponsors. Go to VFNTV.com. Collect all their information so that you can make sure to visit them. Phone numbers, web addresses. If you're in Pensacola, go to Taqueria Ogies. Oh my goodness, fantastic, authentic Mexican food. You don't want to miss it. Also, in Alabama, Mobile, Brunson Air and Heating. All of your heating and air conditioning needs, they'll come out and service, even give you a quote. VFNTV.com today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.